social experience series, and man, I know that I have. It's, you know, we've been talking about relationships, talking about friendships, talking about fellowship, how to do it. Last week, was anybody here last week for Pastor Luke? Pastor Luke, I heard he tore it up talking about neighboring. And you know, I really believe that when it comes to the church, which again is not the four walls of the building, you are the church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. And I believe that God has given the church a mission. And that mission is to go out and to preach the gospel to every nation, baptizing them and making disciples of all of them, all right? And sometimes when we think of mission or we think of missions, we think, you know, I got to jump on a plane. I got to go to another country in order to be involved in missions. But, hey, man, you got a mission right next door, right across the street. Come on, somebody. And don't get me wrong. I think that every believer, at least, if you're not called to missions, you ought to go on missions trips, short term at least, and get outside of this United States, which is, we are so blessed here. But get outside and experience a different culture and bring Jesus to them. And, man, what a blessing it would be. What we kind of did already in the first couple weeks, like I said, we're talking about just kind of general relationships and fellowships and such. And during this series, we did want to get into, we did want to talk about sex and dating and marriage. And how many of you realize today that God created sex? He's the one who invented it. Like, it was his idea. It was not the devil's idea. The devil has taken something good and perverted it. And so I believe that, you know, there's wisdom in God's word when it comes to all of these different areas of life. And so what I thought would be cool tonight is I thought we'd do a Q&A. Is that all right? So this is your opportunity to ask some questions. And I've asked a few people here in Shift to be a part of this Q&A. And I just want to get kind of, you know, a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of information, a wealth of life experience. You know, I've had my life experiences, and I can talk from my life experiences, but there are other people out there who have had other experiences and may have some different insights into these things. And so I wanted to bring them up. So if I could get PJ and Angelina and Antonio and Beth up here. And we've got a Google number we're going to put on the screen. And at any time during the service, we want you to text this number, okay? And we'll get your question, and I can't promise that we'll get to everybody's question, but we'll do our best job to try and address everything that maybe be on your heart. Maybe something's going on in your life, in your relationship. Maybe you've always wondered, what does the Bible have to say about this, that, or the other? And so, and then we're going to ask these guys what they think. And they've promised to give good, godly advice, Bible-based, biblical, that you could take to the bank. Bring it! No, I don't know. I just had to say something else with a B. So, anyways, so with that said, you know what, can you hand me my Bible real fast? And yeah, thank you. With that said, you know what? Maybe I don't know if you've met all these guys personally. Why don't we just kind of go down the row here and just introduce yourself and give us a fun fact about yourself. I'll tell you a fun fact right now. PJ has what they call a Jesus hat. This like what they've been wearing in the Hillsong churches and stuff, and they call it the Jesus hat. He is straight from, he's so Australian, so.
It came off of Joel Houston's head.
Did it really?
No, it didn't.
I'm so colorful.
Of course, my name is PJ. Fun fact. Fun fact, I work at Starbucks. That's it.
Did you flick the switch? Come on, bro, you got to turn it on.
This is my first rodeo, Pastor Joe.
This is not your first rodeo, bro.
Oh, hey, guys, my name is Antonio, and a fun fact about me is that I'm in love with this girl right here.
My name is Angelina, and fun fact about me, I'm PJ's boss, and just kidding.
We all know the truth.
Mute her.
No, please.
Did you get one? A real one?
That's real.
Oh, okay.
That's real fake.
My name.
It's not a not the place. Not the time, not the time.
My name's Beth. Fun fact about me, I drink goat's milk. And I will have a goat one day. So, a lot of goats. So if anyone wants information about goat's milk,
So you drink goat's milk on a regular basis?
Yes. I just gave some to Ashley Guadalupe today. And how was it? Delicious. So I will convert you.
I don't know if I'm sheltered, but where do you get goat's milk?
Trader Joe's.
Really?
Or from a goat.
From goat. Yeah, right. From goats. That's right. All right.
Shocking.
You guys are blowing it up already. I like this. So let's start this off kind of easy here. I have a question. Where can I find a Jesus hat? Apparently, they like your hat and they want to know.
So Nordstrom's Rack, Marshalls, H&M.
Is there besides Jesus hat? Is there a specific name for that hat? So they go. Never mind. PJ.
It's a hat.
What's the brand? Tell them the brand.
Look at that dude. Y'all see that dude?
Brixton? I don't know.
Brixton.
Big baller right here. Brixton.
He's a baller? All right. Okay. I have another one here. Antonio, shave your knees.
Who said that?
I'm not very hairy.
About my husband.
Yeah, no, he's not very hairy. And I have one more. No, I better not read that one. I'm going to get myself in trouble. Okay. All right. So. Okay, here's one. It says, should a person achieve getting their dream career before getting married?
I'll answer that. I feel like I have several friends from university that I met at university. They've gone on to pursue professional degrees, attorneys, pharmacists, doctors. I'm not certain what it is that, well, the reason why I jumped in to answer this question is because oftentimes our conversations consist of their plan was to get everything else set up before they committed to a marriage, which I think sounds great, right? I think it's great to have things set up, but then life happens and you can fall in love and you meet somebody that you know you want to spend the rest of your life with, and so the question or the dilemma that you can find yourself in is figuring out if you need to wait. I don't think there's necessarily a right or a wrong answer, but the challenge in feeling that you need to have your stuff together financially or career-wise before you get married can just be the kind of gateway challenge when you think of, well, then that means you have to have everything in order before you make any kind of major decision. I just don't know that it's always realistic because, again, say you find the one that you know you want to marry and you're in a committed relationship and you know that you're still years away from getting to your goal for your career. I mean, for example, if you want to be a doctor, you have to go finish your degree. Then sometimes you get a master's degree, or even if you go straight to medical school, that's another 4 years. Then you have, what's it called, rotations and all that, another 4 years of that. And then, you know, I think you want to find someone who will support your career, I don't think you have to wait until it's achieved. But I do believe that you need to be able to sustain, be in a position when you get married to sustain yourself,
Amen.
To have children right away. Because you could have children right away unless you don't consummate your marriage, and we're talking about that too, right? So I just always, you know, whatever. I'll be the first one to say it.
I think what he's saying, for me, you may plan or you may have something ready, but then there could be a wrench that goes in that and just changes all your plans. So, for example, like when me and my wife first got married, everything was going smoothly. I had a good job. I had a good, you know, I had everything going for me. And then, you know, I had to step down in my position in order to continue my job. And it was a really hard time for me and my wife. We didn't plan it. But again, like Antonio was saying, supporting each other and knowing that no matter what happens, you guys are in it together and you guys are going to do it together. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that's good. You know what?
Beautiful, beautiful.
You know what? Just bear with me because I just feel a little bit out of order. But that advice was great. But let's pray and let's ask God to speak through what we're doing today. Because we usually pray before messages, and I didn't do that, so it's my bad. All right, Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. We thank you for this time. We thank you for what you've already done, and Father, what you're doing. And God, the Bible talks about when believers get together and they have discussions, Lord, and how you're there in the midst of them, and Lord, how you speak through each one of us. So we thank you for your wisdom. God, we don't want to give any advice based on our own opinion or based on the thoughts and the philosophies of men. But God, we want to speak your truth, and we want to speak by your Spirit. And so, God, we ask that you would absolutely invade this time and continue to speak with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here's a good one. It says, is there a clear way to know the difference between God saying no and God saying not right now? Dang, that's a good one. I think I have to think about that for a moment.
I think, I don't know. I think you just have to trust God. I think, though, you can't look at it as, are you saying not right now? Because then are you really accepting the no, you know? So,
dang.
So
that's good.
You got to allow God to close doors and accept the no. And then if the only way you can do that is if you accept the no. And then, you can't hope that it's a not right now. So I guess you probably should just take the no. Just take the no.
Take the no.
Yeah, I like that. I kind of, actually, when you're talking, I thought to myself, like, I remember I was talking with a friend a while back, and I was explaining to him, because he was in a similar situation. He was talking about, you know, I kind of feel like maybe God's saying not right now. But the problem was, is that, you know, they were doing everything that they could, or maybe that's not fully the truth. In other words, it just gets real hard, like Angelina said. It's kind of like, you know, if I want to buy a car, and I'm like, God, I want this car. I want this Mustang. And God's like, not right now. But then I go every day to the dealership, and I'm looking at it, and I'm talking to the salesman. I'm like, do you see what I mean? Like, I'm playing it close to the edge, and eventually I'm going to fall in, and I'm going to do what God said no, and then it's going to change. Well, you know, well, now's the time, because it wasn't right then. But do you see what I mean? So I absolutely agree 100% with Angelina's answer. Anybody else? Anybody else want to add to that? Okay. All right. This is like a paragraph. Here's one. Is Trey single?
Oh!
They've sent it 3 times. Trey, somebody's got your number, bro.
Trey, you want to answer that? Oh, he's just staring. He doesn't want to answer that, so.
Dang, you guys are blowing this up. These are like super theological, some of them. All right, let's try this. What is the most important lesson you've learned in dating?
I'll answer that. In maybe relationships that didn't go right. How many of you guys ever had a relationship and you're like, I just wish it didn't even happen? You know what I'm saying? Like, you regret it and it's terrible. I would say in those relationships, I learned, this was through dating, right? That was the question. What was really important to me. You know, like, maybe you can throw away everything else, all the other things that happened and how terrible it was, but I learned, gosh, like, I am not willing to budge on this. Like, I didn't know that, like, God was, like, that important to me. I didn't know that him coming to church was that important to me. I didn't know that him praying was that important until it didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, maybe you were dating and it just went bad and it's terrible and you're like, it ruined me. But there are parts where you can take from that and say, wow, like, now that I know that's super important to me, I'm going to look for that in the next person. So take it on. Pass it on, people. Come on, Jesus.
That's good. Okay, I got another one. It says, what are the signs to know that you have found true love?
I mean, you really can't, I mean, hard question, but when you find true love, we were saying it earlier, is it's a choice that you make. It's not something that you can find. You have to make a choice on a daily basis to love this person, to love them through everything. I hope that answers your question.
You're very wise, PJ. That's really good.
Woo! Yeah, no, I would agree 100%. I would definitely say love is a choice, definitely more than a feeling. I mean, we all love feelings, right? God gave us feelings, right? Right? Those are great, but definitely love is something that you choose.
I'll make a plug for this book. I've recommended it to several people, both single and engaged and married, and all of them. Actually, I recommended it first to a engaged couple, and both of them came back to me saying that they wish they would have read it when they were still single. And it's called Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas. It's an excellent book. The premise of the book is similar to what you're saying, in terms of that love has nothing to do with the feeling, with the emotion, or even so much the other person that you are loving, as much as it has to do with your choice to honor and worship God through that love. So if we can frame everything in terms of our love for someone else, see, and it's not, it's, you know, I think it's more for our spouse love, because for those of you who are dating and are kind of falling in love, you know, like, oh, I need to know if it's true love, and maybe that's where the question comes from the perspective of, if it's true love, then I want to pursue marriage. Well, I think that comes from the choice that you think you can make, because I think a good question to ask is, if this person that I'm thinking of that I have true love for, if they never changed from where they are today, would I be able to love them and spend the rest of my life with them? Because oftentimes we say, oh my gosh, they're just about there. They have it together. If they just, I know in over years they'll start doing this and they'll start being organized, or they'll start cooking or cleaning, or they'll start taking
care
of
me,
or
about me. Just
washing
so
the car.
Clear.
Or they'll start doing this and that. Then you're not there yet, because you're still adding stuff that they have to do, and you're going to find a lot of challenges when you feel like, wait, I married you with the premise that you were going to keep improving, because I thought that's what we do. But if they don't, you still have to love them, right?
I'll take out the trash next week, babe.
He's really putting all my business out here. Like, he's laid it all out.
You're what?
Yeah.
Well, family feud. All right, here's one. Okay. It says, I have scars from relationships. I'm living in my present, and I'm struggling with my past, but I stay prayed up, and I know that it's a process. And I was wondering what encouragement or advice do you have for feelings of loneliness and emptiness until I'm healed completely of my past relationships?
Well, I'm the one who's not married, so it's been a while for all you guys, the single life. Anybody who's not married, let me see your hands. Woo! Right? Okay. So, you know, I would say, you know, I kind of forget that was long, but I'm pretty sure I heard something about loneliness and stuff in there. But, you know, when you're like waiting for the person to come along, you know what I'm saying, you can really get lonely. And honestly, the devil can lie to you where you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to meet anybody. This is, you know, I got hurt from this last relationship. I'm never going to date again. I'm never, you know, and you get into this really unhealthy bubble in your mind of loneliness and stuff like that. You know, I would say as God is healing you, well, number one, you need to let God heal you and all that. But as you're waiting and you're in this loneliness, you know, don't just be waiting. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes I talk to people and they're like, yeah, I'm just waiting for him to come. Girl, why are you waiting? Like, for real? Are you kidding me? You know, the Bible says in John 10:10 that he has given us life and life more abundantly. I got to tell somebody here tonight, your life doesn't start when you get married. But we can feel like that because of media, because our friends, all my friends are married, and it's like, well, when am I going to get married? You know, and you begin to put this pressure on you. But, y'all, I have lived in Africa. I have lived in Oklahoma. I got my pilot's license. I have traveled to almost every country in the world at this point, and my life doesn't begin when I get married. You know, God wants to give you life now. So start doing adventure. Like, why do you have to be lonely? You know, go to our connect groups. Make sure you're in church. Make sure, you know, you're out, you're doing stuff. Hey, sign up for karate class. I don't know. But you need to be doing something, because if not, you'll never be healed, because the devil will keep playing those things over and over and over. But God wants you to be a functioning part of the church. Does that make sense?
That's good. That's good. All right. This one goes to Angelina. It's kind of a follow-up to that. The question is it okay to stay single? So I'm assuming they're talking maybe from now till Jesus
forever?
Comes.
Forever?
Okay. Well, yes. It is okay to stay single. First of all, best life. I was like, why did I get married? Like, she literally went everywhere. She was all over the world. Like, when you are single, you lack nothing. You just don't have a spouse. Like, you're not lacking in any area. You are absolutely fine to stay single. Just like she said, go travel the world. You have nothing holding you down. I love my husband and I love my son, but I can't just get up and leave them. I can't just go on a mission trip. We're going on a mission trip. Not that you can't do those things, but we're going together. I can't just decide on my own. We're a family. We're a unit, and that's great, but just because you don't have that, that's not a lack in your life. That's not a place of loss. You can be single and be amazing and do amazing things for God, just like people who are married can.
Yeah, I think that's great. And, you know, the Bible does talk about, Paul does talk about, he says, you know, if you can stay single, then just stay single, because then you avoid all the trouble that comes along with being married. Keeping it real, right? And then he does also say, you know, that some people have a gift from God to stay single. And that's okay. It's okay. So very good. Very good. All right.
Pastor, can I go back to the question about being healed really quickly? Because, I think oftentimes what happens, you know, if you have an injury, I'm accident prone, so I've had several injuries. And what happens is, you know, I've had shoulder surgeries and different operations. And I equate it to just like in our physical body, when there is something that, we're hurt from a past relationship, and you know there's scar tissue on your heart, and you just don't feel like I can't get into another relationship, or you almost don't want to go out or be out or about when you feel this pain or this hurt. And the challenge with that is, just like an injury, you actually have to do physical therapy. So before you're completely healed, you have to start to exercise that muscle, or else it can atrophy, or in other words, it will never get back to that full strength. And so in our emotional hurtings from past relationships, if we were to just kind of shut down and, oh, I'm just going to wait till I get completely healed before I ever meet anybody new or have any friends or have any kind of life, it goes back into that kind of idea that you won't have a life. So, you know, to the person who's been hurt, to the person who feels incomplete or unwhole, or just like, oh my gosh, I'm swearing off of men, I'm swearing off of women because I got hurt by them, and I'll never, you know, I can never trust anybody again. Allow God to heal your heart, but in the meantime, continue to get around other people, continue to be in a place where you can physical therapy your heart. Does that make sense? So I think it's really important to know that, because a lot of people can stay trapped in that hurt, or even will try to get in other relationships that they know that there's no meaning to it, but just to kind of fill that void, and that's just going to cause more heartache in the end.
All right, I got this question about sex in marriage, and the question is it possible to lust after your wife, Reverend Antonio? All right, let me see if I could take a stab at this here. You know, look, let's just be honest. I remember one time in Bible college, we had this preacher. He was just awesome. His name was Billy Joe Watts. And he talked about how he's talking about Genesis and how God, he said, he created man. And he would go shoof like this. He was very, you know, animated. He's all, but then he formed the woman. And then he goes, and all the brothers said, amen. And I just loved it so much. And I think that physical attraction is something that God created. And I don't think that it's something that any of us should be ashamed of, especially in marriage. And I'm, you know, I'll be vulnerable for a moment. I'm not afraid to say my wife turns me on. You know, But here's what I would say. You know, I think if you start to get too critical of, you know, what's going on, and especially when you're being intimate, I think that you can trip yourself out. I do think that you can engage in sex with wrong motives, and you know, when you don't care about the other person, you're there to get what you want to get, and you're done with it. And that I do think that, you know, there's definitely a care that takes place in the marriage bed. Is you guys follow me? And there is a looking out for one another. And I do think that you can go into your marriage bed and be hurtful to the other person. Or you can make it flourish as God wants it to flourish, and you guys can grow together and experience, you know, a wonderful relationship that God has designed you to have. So, that said, what do you think? You have anything else?
I guess lust has such a negative connotation.
Yeah.
And so, you're meant to be attracted to, and like physically and sexually attracted to your spouse. So, I mean, you can't. I guess a simple answer would, I wouldn't consider it lust as much as just like sexual desire for the person that you have. But I think where you can mistake, or a marriage relationship can go south if that's all you see them for, as a sexual partner, and then there's no other connection throughout the week, throughout the day, so on and so forth. It's just, that's what they are to you.
Yeah. All right, PJ, what type of boundaries should you set up in a serious relationship to avoid falling into sin? So I'm assuming they're in a dating relationship. They both really love each other, because they put here it's a serious relationship. So maybe they're thinking about marriage, and they want to know what kind of boundaries can they set up for themselves so they don't fall into sin.
I would just say, for example, in my journey with me and my wife, just set really, really smart boundaries, like not staying out late together. Do things with other people so that you're not left alone at all the time. Have your family around. For me and my wife, it was kind of easy because I was gone for 6 months of the year. I was in Australia. But you just want to make sure that you set those small boundaries so that you can.
Hold on. He proposed and then left.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But... But you just want to set boundaries. And, you know, one of the good things that I had is I had, you know, support from my family, support from my friends. I had a lot of advice and examples from people that got married prior to me. So a lot of people told me the things that went wrong in their life. And, you know, I would say use that as an example to help you in your journey with your relationship now. Don't do the things that I did. Do the things, you know, that will get you through. So.
That's good. Can I add something real quick?
Yeah.
I've been dating Jaden for 6 months. Woo! Can everyone just pray for him, please? But I think a wise thing is to set up boundaries before. You know, like, don't set boundaries after you've made a mistake. Then you're like, we probably shouldn't do that again, right? You know, like wisdom is to do it before, so that, you know, you know what your goal is. If your goal is to not have sex before marriage, if your goal is to not be alone in their apartment until 2 o'clock in the morning, then you have that goal and you can live up to that. We have a personal boundary. Her name is Angelina. She shows up wherever we go. We've been on dinner dates.
Seriously.
And she's walked in.
Like, God,
one time he was dropping me off at my car, and she drove by and pulled up and yelled at us.
Like, in a different city.
In a different
city,
people.
And I was right there.
No matter where we go, God sends Angelina. So hopefully God will send you one too. So, Holy Shield, you ruin your relationship like she's ruined ours. Thank you.
Okay, so because of our time, and we got... Man, we got a ton here. All right, so you guys are all doing great. Let's see if we can shorten our answers. And I would love to talk a whole lot more about some of these, because I think they really deserve the attention. But in order to try to get through as many, so we don't have like 35 messages that we didn't get to. All right. Okay, here's one. Maybe Beth, this could go to you. There's a few questions in here that talk about dating somebody who's a non-believer versus dating somebody who is. Can you kind of clarify, you know, what are the pros and cons? What does God say? And
what does
help
God
them
say?
Deal with their
Well, obviously, God has said in his word that we shouldn't be unequally yoked. What that means is, if you were to take in the context of dating, if someone's not saved, you really shouldn't date them who, you shouldn't date people who aren't saved. Because the reality is, if you're dating someone who doesn't have the same standards and beliefs in you that you do, it's just never going to work out. Let's be honest, people, okay? I know that we lie to ourselves because we really, 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 really want that person to be with us, and we will do anything to do that, and we will convince ourselves that we can change them, and we know God is a God of miracles. But the reality is you have to ask yourself this question: what if God doesn't change them? What if you fall in love with someone who will never be changed? Not because God isn't all powerful, not all that. Listen, that's not what it's about. The reality is you're going to find yourself in love with someone who does not believe in God, someone who does not have the same standards as you, and now you're going to be in a trap that you've put yourself in. And guess who's going to get blamed? God. So that's why he takes it so seriously, is that, you know, you're not going to have the same standards. You're not going to see this. You guys are not going to be on the same level. Nothing's going to make sense. You guys are going to fight. It's just not going to be good. So just advice, and what the Word of God says, is don't do it. You know, they call it missionary dating, where you date someone and you just really hope they get saved. And never works out, okay? If it does, it's a miracle and it's awesome. But the reality is you're just going to put yourself through heartache going through that. So don't do it.
Amen. All right, I'll take this one. This one's a little vague, so I'll do the best job I can. But it says, what does God say about someone not accepting a certain part of another person's past in a relationship? Does that person have to? What if they say they don't have to accept it, but yet they still want to act like they're in a relationship? So I'm assuming there's a dating relationship, and one of you had a past that maybe is, maybe has been difficult. Maybe you've made some mistakes. Maybe you've been ashamed of what you've done, and it seems like the other person is not accepting of that past for one reason or another. Or maybe it's you that's not accepting the past of your significant other, whoever that may be, right? Here's what I think. I think if God forgives, and if God cleanses, and if God sees that person as a new creation in Christ Jesus, then who am I to hold anybody's past against them, or say, I'm not going to accept that, or let's just be honest, all of us deserved hell, except that Jesus came and Jesus died. He took my sin on that cross, his blood was poured out, and through him I have salvation. So I think that, you know, that kind of an issue you guys ought to really be able to work out, you know, understand that, hey, you know, you're no more holy than they are, you know, apart from Jesus Christ. So hopefully that answered that question. Let's see here. Okay, this one says, is it okay to move in with the opposite sex? Angelina.
So there's no place in Scripture where it says do not move in with the opposite sex. But it does say just because you can do it doesn't mean it's good for you. So let's be honest. I think you're setting yourself up for failure if you were to, because there'd be too much temptation there. It'd be really hard to separate yourself. It'd be hard not to act like you're married or live like, it'd be hard not to act like it if you're acting like it. You know, you're acting like you're married. How would you be able to put those boundaries in place? So while the Bible doesn't say you are not allowed to, it's not smart, it's not wise, and you should make better decisions.
Yeah, I agree 100%, 100%. You know, and another thing, especially for you ladies, you're going to move in with the opposite sex, and I'm assuming, there's different scenarios surrounding that. Some people, I'll just be honest, all right, as a pastor, I do premarital counseling, and I would have to say probably 80% of the people that I counsel are living together and sleeping together, and it's just amazing because those two things go hand in hand. Like, you're just not going to get away from it. And on the other hand, too, I've known a lot of females who, you know, they want to get married, but they're living with their significant other, and they just do that for years. And the reason why is because why buy the cow if you're getting the milk for free?
Preach.
I mean, let's just be honest, right? And so, and not only that, but, you know, the Bible says that we are to avoid all appearance of evil. And here you are trying to, you know, be a witness for Jesus Christ, but you're moved in, and the world knows how that works. So anyways, great answer. All right, Antonio, how do you ask, what is a great way to ask a girl out?
Man, I'm so out of practice. It's been a while. I've been out the game for a while.
And he wasn't good one.
I used to think I was smooth.
Hey, he was good enough to get you.
No, he's my husband and I love him, so.
I know.
You know.
But I wasn't when I did. Okay, sorry. All right, so let's see, a good way to, I obviously think that you should have a rapport with the person that you ask out, although, you can see someone across the room. Like, hey, what's up? You want to go grab a coffee? Is that, people do that? I mean, I watch a lot of movies, rom-coms, and it looks cool on the movies. But if you have a rapport with the person, like I did with Angelina, there's already a friendship established, or even if it's not a friendship, you know each other, and the idea is that you'd like to get to know them better. Honesty is always what I recommend. Just I think that's, as long as you approach it like you generally want to just get to know them as a person, like, oh, I think you're fine, I want to spend some time with you. It's a little bit different. So I think if you're going into it like, hey, I want to get to know you as a person, I think that's a great way to go. So approach them as a gentleman, or ladies ask guys out too. I mean, whatever, that's cool too. But I would, I would approach the person and kind of just start a genuine conversation, right? Like, don't just go straight for the kill. Show interest. All right, like that you're not just going for a yes, then say, hey, what's up? Can we hang out? I haven't done it for like a lot of years. How many? Probably 10 years since I've asked someone out for the first time. But so like texting has made major leaps and bounds in this. And I know like I'm finding out a lot of things go down through texts, which I don't agree with. Like maybe I'm old school. I think a phone
Preach
call,
it.
I think in person.
Preach it.
In person, preferably, if not a phone call. I mean, will you go out with me by text? It's just, ugh. You tell me, ladies. I don't know. Maybe you're cool with that, but that's just my thought. I don't know.
I asked Donna out in a text. Okay. Because I was so scared to ask her in person.
What did you say, Donna?
I was so scared to ask her in person, so I was like.
He never asked.
Never asked.
Go out with me. I did.
Oh my gosh.
He was her boss. And
we need to pray for
out.
This relationship.
All right. All right. So, Reverend Antonio answered what is a great way to ask a girl out? The follow up question goes to you, PJ. How do you break up with your significant other?
Ooh.
So
I'm planning
I think
that?
A good way to do it is just be honest with the person and tell them the reason why so that they're not left in the dust to question or to
but
think.
Like not like stab it in, right? Like don't.
No.
Right.
I mean, but you kind of, it's going to happen, so you have to do it.
Right.
There's no like good way, but the best way is to be honest with the person and tell them exactly the truth so that they're not waiting or.
So would you do that through text though, or how would you approach that?
You would have to do that in person because okay. I think text would be pretty bad.
You know what? I agree with you, man. I think if you went through the trouble to get somebody in emotionally and involved, you ought to be able to go through the trouble of giving them an honest conversation,
Preach.
A straight up. You know, I just think out of respect for that other person, out of love, you ought to, just like PJ said, you ought to be able to go over there and tell them the truth. You know what? From personal experience, the girls who broke up with me before I got married. And who were honest with me, why? I remember one girl, like, we were doing the, I was interested in her, she wasn't so much interested in me, but we were hanging out, and then she caught on, and as soon as she caught on, she said, hey, I just want to talk to you, I think you're great, I have a lot of fun with you, I just don't see you that way. And it broke my heart, but you know what? I walked away from that, and I was over it within the week, and I have respect for her today. I had another girl that broke up with me, and she couldn't give me the respect to even answer a text message back, give me a phone call. She went to one of the pastors here on church and told them she didn't want to be in a relationship with me anymore. So I came in the office one day, and the pastor's like, can I talk to you in my office? I went to their office, closed the door, and they're like, so-and-so doesn't want to be in a relationship with you anymore. I'm like, are you
what?
Serious? So anyways,
bitter.
No, I'm just kidding. All right. No, I'm just kidding. All right, here we go. Okay, we talked about that. We talked about that.
You guys having a good time so far? Yeah?
Woo!
Pastor Joe, you are doing an awesome job, by the way. Just want to let you know.
Okay.
I'm stalling. Stalling.
Appreciate you. All right. With going back, all right, I guess this one goes to Beth. Would going back to someone who's hurt you multiple times be the right thing to do if you feel like they're the one?
Huh. Wait, say that again.
So apparently this person keeps going back to another individual who continually hurts them. So should they keep on going back because they feel like the other person is the one they're supposed to marry? Did I make it more confusing?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like we can't really answer that because it sounds more like an individual thing. Because the question is, why do they keep hurting you? Is it because you're crazy? Or is it because legitimately they have some issues, you know? But I would say, you know, if they keep hurting you and, you know, it's not necessarily your fault, you know, I would really ask the Holy Spirit, if you're born again in this room, you have God on the inside of you. And I would be honest, you know, you could feel like they're the one, but we feel a lot of things, y'all, okay? I feel like every hamburger I have is the one, okay? And guess what? Sometimes it ain't healthy for me, okay? So we have to be honest with ourselves, honestly ask the Holy Spirit, okay, God, is this the one? What's going on here? And if the Holy Spirit is telling you, hey, he is crazy, then you need to really move on from that. But Ange, do you have any?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you're not married yet, you're not married. If someone's hurting you, take a step back. Like, that's not God's plan for you. You know, like, God doesn't want you to be hurt. And so if you're not married, you're not married yet. So, you know, they're not the one until you're married. When you're married, that's a different story. But until you're married, you're not married. You know, you don't have to be with someone or stay with someone who keeps hurting you.
Yeah, and the Bible says that our heart can be very deceitful at times. So we don't always want to follow our heart. That's why God has given us the Holy Spirit, our advocate, our wisdom, so we keep going back to God. Because otherwise, our feelings will take us places we don't want to go, y'all. So ask God. But yeah, if he keeps hurting you, go ahead and send that text message. It's over.
PJ will write it for you.
Yeah, PJ will help you with that after service. There will be a line. Come see him. But, yeah.
All right, Angelina. If you are currently having sex, how do you stop having sex?
You stop having sex. Like, you stop
Preach!
Doing it. You just stop. You just have to stop. And if that, you have to put some practical boundaries in your life. Like, maybe you have to stop dating someone who you keep having sex with. Then you have to do that. Or if you're able to separate that part of your life and continue with the relationship, In my opinion, I feel like that would be hard because there are soul ties that come with that and lots of other things. But you just stop. It's not like you pray for the strength. You have to stop. You have to take control of yourself, take control of your mind and your body and your actions and say, I'm going to stop, and then you just stop.
Amen. I think it's good. You know, yeah. I think if you have some kind of an addiction or tie, like you're saying, and you can't seem to get over it, you need to do some prayer and fasting. Who would have thought, right? Oh, fast? Yeah. Tell your flesh no and go without food. Starve it. And it's gonna cry and scream, and then it's going to die. Not literally die, but yeah, if you don't eat... But I mean, seriously, you know, if you're having a struggle, maybe it's pornography or something like that. You need to get down on your knees and you need to cry out to God and do some fasting and praying. And I believe that God sets people free who are sincere and who really want God to do something in their life. Can I get an amen, anybody?
Amen.
So, yeah. All right, Reverend. Okay. So, all right, this one. This is a difficult one, but I can tell that they're very genuine. So it says, I'm gay and I came to Christ gay. Now that I am in the things of God and understand his word, my boyfriend does not want to believe in Christ. Do I just leave my boyfriend?
Well, I think the answer applies gay, straight, whatever. I mean, it's the same kind of thing that we already addressed. in an equally yoked situation. That sounds like a relationship that you need to remove yourself from regardless, you know. And again, if gay, straight, if you're in a relationship, what happens oftentimes is, okay, so you come to Christ, and before you were Christ, you're a what happens is you become a new creation. So the gay part is a separate story. Let's just approach the relationship part. A quick answer is yes, you have to remove yourself from that relationship because you want to live as a new creation. You want to go one direction, and your counterpart does not want to. So the quick answer is yes. So say you approach this person and, you know what, I need to break up with you because I want to live for Christ, and you don't. Oh, I'll live for Christ. Well, then now you face the challenge of the missionary dating. Are they doing it for the right reason? Are they not? And that doesn't even touch the aspect of the homosexual relationship. And I think just the idea there is, again, you are a new creation regardless of how you came to Christ. We all came to Christ as sinners. We all came to Christ incomplete. We all came to Christ unworthy. But the cool thing is when we got born again, Jesus washed us, took away our sin, made us new, made us whole. We are complete in him, and we walk as righteous beings before him. So, again, I think you do need to remove yourself from a relationship that is unequally yoked.
Good. All right, PJ, what if you're married and that person keeps hurting you?
I would say, like Pastor Joe was saying, that you want to pray and you want to fast. Because if you are married, that's something that God put together. Of course, you want to get guidance. So I would say lean on, you know, a pastor to really counsel you into the things that are right. Because if that person, you know, is doing things sexually with another person, then that's a different story. But if it's something, you know, that they're doing in the relationship that can be helped by someone else, I would say get counsel so that you can make the right decision.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
And Pastor Joe, could yes. I just tell them that?
Yeah.
You guys actually are able to call the church at any time and set up a spiritual guidance with our pastors, our leadership. That's why we're here. A lot of times, you know, people come to us after the fact. You know, my marriage fell apart, or, you know, I've been going through this depression for like 6 months. I almost killed myself. And it's like, we didn't know, like, you know. And so I want to let you guys know, you can call anytime, set up a spiritual guidance with our married pastors or single pastors, stuff like that, because we are here for you. So just to know that.
All right, here's one. It says, what if your spouse feels God is saying to go in a different direction than he's telling you? Anybody? I forgot who was next.
I'm not married, so I'm good.
Well, it's not my favorite thing to do as a wife, but I am called to submit to my husband. So, but it's I mean, when you're married, you have to follow. I just want to make sure I heard that. You know, he's not, as long as my husband's not leading me to hell, is not leading me to sin, I have to, we're one, so we got to do this thing together. And there's a lot of times that I don't like what I want to do, or maybe I would have done something different. I would have made a different decision. But the cool thing about God is that as I submit to my husband, God covers me no matter what happens. Even if he made the wrong decision, God's going to cover it, because he's going to cover me and him. But as a wife, I'm supposed to submit to my husband and trust that God's going to take care of us and me in that.
Well, also, if I heard correctly, God doesn't tell a spouse who is one two separate things. So if you are getting two different directions, there's lines being crossed somewhere. So I would go back, make it a point to go back to God in prayer, maybe together, and figure out what that vision that he has for your home is. I don't think it's just like, oh, the woman has to just do whatever the man says. It's like, hey, let's figure out what God is telling us. I mean, as the husband, as a head of the home, I know that there's been times when I'm like, hey, I think this is what God has for us. And, well, she's feeling like, oh, that's not what I feel like God's leading. So what we do, like, I can say, well, what I say goes, or we can say, you know what, let's see, let's make it a point to go back to God again and make sure we're hearing correctly. You know, you could, and that's where, as a husband, you could try to lord over your wife. But the Bible, in that same sentence, while he's saying head of the home, he's also saying you don't lord over your home. So it's important to understand that not to get your wires crossed, and God will make it clear. He's not a God of confusion. Does that make sense? He's a God of clarity. He wants to speak to his children, so he will speak to us in ways that we can hear and understand, because he's not trying to trick us and divide us.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think it's really good. I so appreciate Angelina's posture to say, you know, I know what God's word says, and so I'll yield, and I know that God will cover me. And if I could just add to what Antonio said, talking from the man's side, you know, I think you men, you ought not to be making decisions if your wife is in disagreement. If you really feel like it's what God wants, you really ought to be patient and wait and ask God to work it out in your wife's heart, you know. And the Bible talks about, you know, we're supposed to submit to one another in the fear of God. And you know what? I tell teens this all the time. You know, look, one of the ways that God speaks to you as a teen, right, before you leave your house and whatever, is through your parents. God uses parents to speak to teenagers as much as teenagers don't want to hear what their parents have to say. And once you move out and you get married, I would say that other than God speaking to you personally, one of the major ways that God will speak to you is through your spouse. Don't shout me down while I'm giving good answers. All right, anyways. Too heavy for them. All right, let's see. Do we got one more here? Okay. There's two, and then we'll stop. All right. How far is too far? First one is how far is too far when you're single? When it comes to, you know. Do I need to go further? You know, when it comes to being physical, how far is too far when it comes to being physical? When you're single. Did I say that?
Yeah. I heard a preacher once say, you know, because, again, this is where it can be couple to couple, but I thought it was really wise. He said, anything that gets you revved up, ready to go, that you're going to want to be in a place where, you know what, let's move forward, that's too far. So for a couple, if you can't make out with wanting to all of a sudden go parallel with the ground or put hands in places, then you shouldn't be making out. If holding hands, it gets you a place like, oh my, you know, like you shouldn't hold hands. So I think, is it very practical? Is it easy? No, but I think that's wise counsel to just think, because even if you don't go there, you're going somewhere in your heart. That's not good. You're going into a place of lust. That's not good. You're filling your mind with imaginations and areas that aren't going to be healthy for you. So that's a hard pill to swallow. I'm not sitting up here acting like I took that counsel, but I think it's important to understand that if it's going to get you to wherever the line is that gets you revved up, what was the term that he used? I think you guys can understand what that means. Then I think that's a good line to draw.
All right. The follow-up question is: how far is too far when you're married? Beth, no, I'm just
kidding. I'm like, don't look at me.
I think you guys made them all blush.
You haven't had a turn for a while.
I have. I've been saying a lot. Okay. You know, some of these I'm trying to summarize. So the question here is, you know, can I do this? Can I do that? And I'm not going to read them because they're, you know, I don't even know what to say, but no. You know, the question is how far, you know, the Bible says this about marriage, that the marriage bed is undefiled, okay? So the Bible doesn't give specifics like you can do this and you can do that and you cannot do this and you cannot do that. Here's what I would say. God gave each one of you a conscience. And if you are engaging in things that violate your conscience, you ought not to do them. If you are putting pressure on your spouse to do things they don't want to do, you ought not to do them. I remember as a young minister, over all the pastors were in a meeting. I got a phone call from the front desk. They're like, "Hey, we don't know. This is a lady, and she's crying, and she needs somebody to pray with her. Can you pray?" So yeah, sure. You know, put her over on the phone, and she's in tears, and she's like, "And I'm trying to figure out what's going on." And she's like, "I just feel like I'm in sin, and I'm like I'm in a wrong place because I'm not submitting to my husband." Kind of like what Angelina was saying. I was like, "Okay. Well, what's going on?" And it took her a little bit of time. Okay, I'm just going to be very, can I just be very open with you guys? She said, "My husband is insisting to have anal sex. I don't want to do it. It hurts. I don't like it." In tears. But he keeps saying, "I'm supposed to submit to my husband." And I said, "You know what?" And I explained to her, "You don't have to cry. You are not in sin. God is not. Your husband's got a problem." Now, I didn't say that part to her, but I'm telling you right now, her husband has a problem. And he's trying to force his wife to do something that she doesn't want to do. You ought not to do it. And you know what else? If you're going to allow pornography and these different expressions that the world has to come into your life, it's going to affect your marriage bed in a negative way. You ought to stay away from that. That stuff is fake. That stuff is harmful. That stuff will destroy your relationships. And you need to keep away from it. It's going to put suggestions, you know, that's where some of these things come from, you know. Where did you get that idea to begin with? You know, probably got it from the world. And so that's what I would say. I would say, you know, the marriage bed is undefiled, so honor God with your conscience. You know, show respect to your spouse and enjoy the ride. Anyways. You'll get it when you go home. All right. Hey, real quick, before I let you go, yeah, come on up.